Hello, welcome to the Finance Show, tiptv.co.uk. It's Tuesday the 1st of March. Yes, March already. That is wonderful. That's nearly summer, isn't it?
It is.
For some people. On a action-packed lineup today, we have Alan Green, David Buick, Mark Oswald, Malcolm Graham-Wood and Jay Cheatham from Pantheon Resources. But starting off with an old friend of mine, Alan Green, a man, you're sort of somewhere around Brighton, aren't you? Live somewhere around there?
Live between Brighton and Eastbourne in Seaford, of all places. A wonderful place, beautiful South Downs National Park.
People of your own demographic down there?
No, we are the elderly. We are the elderly residents in the road that we live in. Neighbours either side are some 10 years younger, so I'm a real OAP in that.
60, 65, something like that.
No, 30s.
Okay, all right. Well, that's enough of that. Right, markets quite buoyant. A good start to March. I mean, that's why I mentioned it's March.
Yes.
Good start to the month. Is that something you might expect to continue?
Well, I think so. It's interesting. We have the China data overnight, the PMI data, and whilst it's over 50. Still, it's below the previous number, but clearly there were expectations, certainly amongst the resource stocks, that the number would be far worse, because resource stocks, as we've seen so far this morning, have leapt higher, which is always good news. Now, China did move to assure the G20 that it was doing all it could to repair its economy and stabilise things. So certainly the fall in PMI numbers wasn't as bad as expected, and the markets, of course, have jumped on the numbers this morning. That said, we're still seeing some problems in the finance arena, in among financials. Barclays' latest results this morning that I'll talk about a little later on haven't been that well received. Shares are down as much as 10% in early trade. So, it's a mixed bag today, but so far, start to March is fairly buoyant.
Okay, well, let's go through the slides that we have today. Don't forget to download the Tip TV Finance app if you haven't already. It's available in the App Store or on Android Google Play. Also, follow us on Twitter at official Tip TV. Join the Tip TV family. Right, what's trending today? Greece and Cyprus, they're back again. It's a worst nightmare. Cyprus says lenders could return for a bailout review in early March.
I think given the migrant crisis is all being put into Greece's lap, I think probably Merkel's going to campaign for the EU to be a little softer on Greece, because they've had a bit of a bum deal, haven't they? They're trying to repair their economy, and they've got the migrant crisis that they're having to deal with firsthand. And let's not forget that the lives of ordinary Greeks are being destroyed by the crisis too. It's dreadful for the migrants, but it's as bad for the Greeks that are trying to deal with it.
Right. Oil. US oil output drops in December. Shale states show fall, according to the EIA. LSE, NYSE, owner may bid for LSE and gate crash the £20 billion merger between it and Deutsche Börse. In Japan, we're talking about the yen. Abe's advisor says Japan may need FX intervention to limit yen gains. They could have done that quite a while ago, I think.
Good
possibly.
Old Abenomics, eh?
Right, yeah, this is another arrow unveiled. And then in China, as you said, official manufacturing purchasing managers index fell to 49 in February from 49.4 a month earlier.
Above 50.
With the reading below 50 indicating a contraction in the sector. All rather strange, given that the economy is growing by 6% per annum. Next slide. Mike's morning markets. Asia markets recover somewhat as China cuts RRR yesterday and fixes yuan stronger. As we've seen, the China manufacturing PMI the lowest since January 2009, services PMI lowest since December 2008, which is more in line with what would you expect given where the GDP really is. PBOC Deputy Governor Chen warns of stronger US dollar causing an emerging market crisis. I think he's about a year or two behind the curve on that particular warning. New York Fed Dudley governor says less sure about US inflation. And then the data out this morning, UK February market manufacturing PMI 52.3%, 52.3 versus 50.9 in January. And then this afternoon at 3 o'clock, US February ISM manufacturing PMI expected 48.5 versus 48.2 in January. Companies reporting today, as you mentioned, Barclays, Taylor Wimpey, Glencore and Ashtead all moving around a lot at the moment. Right, next up, we've got something from Nicole Elliott from the Investors Chronicle. Late yesterday, the PBOC trimmed yet another 0.5% off the reserve requirement ratio for its banks, its fifth cut in 12 months, taking it down to an effective 17% of their customer deposits. They did so in order to maintain adequate liquidity and to allow for steady money supply and credit growth. February PMI data this morning explained the move. All sectors measured declines. Cajun manufacturing down at 48.0, just off last year's record low at 47, and non-manufacturing dipping to 52.7 from 53.5 in January. So basically with China, the situation is so grim, the markets think that it's not that grim because something will be done about it.
Well, the markets were probably expecting it to be even worse than we're seeing here. So it's probably a relief rally as much as anything. But let's not forget, and we've said this before, that the China economy is still growing, well, allegedly at 6%, but more likely 3.5-4% per annum, which for an economy of that size is no mean achievement. And many Western economies would love that sort of growth. They kill for it. But it's inevitable that as the country grows, the nation grows in size and the economy grows in size, that we're going to see a slowdown in these areas. You know, it's going to be a cyclical process.
But growing pains.
Growing pains, yeah. Nothing more than that.
Okay, well, let's move along a little bit. Super Tuesday in the US today, when 13 states and one territory will go to the polls to choose their presidential candidate. To the alarm of many, Donald Trump, my hairstyle hero, is currently way ahead in the polls for the Republican nomination. Man without hair could never lose, could he?
Well, of course, we've had Abenomics in Japan, but we could be seeing the birth of Trumponomics.
Right. What does that involve?
I think the jury's out on that, but basically it involves building huge walls around the entire US of A and checking everyone as they come in.
Right, it's like a Hadrian's Wall sort of situation.
Pretty well, yeah.
Well, that's
a much bigger.
Interesting concept. I think we might be hoping that Hillary will win, but I've got sort of between the devil and the deep blue sea on that one, really, with the two candidates at the moment.
I think, I'm sure at the moment that Donald Trump is rattling the cages of the other candidates, but frankly, I think when it comes to the choice, a lot of middle Americans may well vote for him because he's saying all the things they want to hear, but common sense surely has to see Hillary win in the long term.
Not really, no. All right, let's.
If you can apply the common sense argument to the US.
I'm not quite sure if the common sense and politics ever really are ever together. No. But anyway, FX Street's Omkar Godbole is next, and he's looking at cable. Is the fall over? Yes, he's also spotted the bullish divergence, which has been alluded to in my charting videos for the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. The only question here is really how much of a bounce we might get. 140.81, I think, was the low last in January, so that's probably the first resistance and target. Mm-hmm. And Omkar says that we're looking for a temporary relief rally, but watch out for the US ISM Manufacturing Employment Index due later today.
Brexit's taken a back seat for now. But
that's right, yes. Okay. Now, these are the stocks that you brought in, Alan?
Indeed. Well, Barclays, of course, looks like it's in terminal decline there. We saw a brief rally up to 172 yesterday, but as I said, with the results this morning, we're down 10%. Now, Jez Staley, the new CEO, of course, is ex-JP Morgan, put an action plan into place, selling off Barclays Africa, accelerating the sell-off of non-core businesses. You've got and it'll be simplified into Barclays UK and Barclays Corporate and International, the two groups. The numbers weren't that bad. I mean, pre-tax is down 2%. Full-year income's down 5%, impairment's down 2%, but the capital adequacy ratio has improved somewhat. The one thing that's probably put the mockers on everything today is the fact that they will be cutting the dividend next year by half. So whilst that might be a good thing, it's clearly it won't be popular amongst the funds that track the stock and those that hold the stock. So the sell-off may be just on the basis that, well, I've had enough of this, I think I'll go and get a better dividend elsewhere.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next company because we're a little bit short of time. Just Eat.
Yep, Just Eat indeed. Fancy takeaway. I mean, this is a fantastic play. I discussed this stock on a podcast and it's long been a favourite of mine when it was just at £3.40 a few weeks ago. And the shares have jumped again this morning back over £4. Orders today, I mean, it's just a fantastic set of numbers. Orders up 57%, revenues up 58%, underlying EBITDA up 83%, adjusted earnings per share up 57%, mobile orders, that's mobile app orders, up 66%. And let's not forget, we saw what Domino's Pizza did with the pizza. This is the company, this is the market leader. It's leading in 12 of the 13 territories it operates in, and this is every single takeaway you can get. It's a fantastic concept and a great business. And forecast for next year, they expect revenues to reach over 350 million, up from 250 million this year, and underlying EBITDA of up to 100 million. That's against 60 million this year. So that's
okay, so good news with Just Eat. NYMEX WTE light crude futures found support at the $30 barrel level. Expect a test of $40 a barrel. If you're a technical trader.
Mm.
And then courtesy of Colin Twiggs, we've got this consolidation here in dollar index. It's rallied over the past couple of weeks, but further PBOC selling is expected to reinforce resistance at 100. Right, the companies couldn't resist looking at ITV. Goldman Sachs neutral on it. They've sort of cut back their target there from 329 to 297. Results tomorrow, so if you're interested in that group, time to take a punt. Apparently, according to SpreadX, their clients have gone long of that. So
I'm not surprised. I mean, they have a great portfolio of TV series that they've produced. You know, some of the big vocal shows like Downton, they're repeating with some of the new series they're producing now. So there's real battle in the.
I've never seen region. Downton Abbey. My life is obviously missing something.
Yes,
Ocado, a Goldman Sachs conviction buy. Couldn't resist bringing that out as well, especially after the recent incident with Morrison's and Amazon.
Indeed.
I'm guessing actually, because they said Ocado said that they're going to have a deal with a major international player. I'm guessing it actually was Amazon.
I think it probably was. Yes.
But they went for Morrison's instead, which looks like a very clever company now, doesn't it?
I think it's a fantastic move, and it caught Tesco's, it caught Sainsbury's napping, and I think the move is fantastic. The Amazon distribution service is terrific. I mean, it's light years ahead of even your Ocado's or Tesco delivery services. So if they apply their metrics and their system to food, I think it'll revolutionise it.
Okay, well, just
having said that, the stock has jumped a lot from those levels, so hold is probably the right rating.
I'm hoping one day Amazon will take over Morrison's.
Who knows?
Right, just a look at the charts quickly. ITV in a range, but 250 zone at the moment looks buyable if you're a fan of the company.
Yeah.
Ocado, bull trap through 280 over this the last couple of sessions, so that's looking under pressure at the moment.
That's the sector, I think, in general, isn't it? It's it's hard to call. I mean, if you're holding it, that's it's nothing more than that, really.
Right, and finally, Morrison's up and away. Great deal, full marks, so 10 out of 10 in terms of what they've done, I think, on that. And
10 out of 10, yeah. Shares have got to remain hold until the strategies are clarified a little further. But yeah, a great move by Morrison's nonetheless, and one that's really turned around their recovery story.
Okay, well, Alan Green, CEO at Bragg Communications. I didn't mention Bragg Communications at the beginning, but I mentioned it at the end.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much. BraggUK.net.
Okay, thank you very much for that.